bring into our conversation now, Liza Featherstone. Now, Liza Featherstone is a columnist for Jacobin, also a freelance journalist and the author of Selling Women Short, The Landmark Battle for Worker Rights at Walmart. She has just published an article for Jacobin magazine that has been blowing up on my social media feed called Adam Schiff is a Dangerous Warmonger. She joins us via Skype. Liza Featherstone, it is my very good pleasure to welcome you to our broadcast.
Thank you so much. I'm delighted to be here.
We're delighted to have you. I just want to quote quickly from your article. You said this and get you to expand on it. Quote, we'd like to be on his side. After all, he's working hard to take down Donald Trump, one of the worst presidents in American history. But let's not get carried away in fandom. Schiff is a dangerous warmonger, and his efforts to fuel paranoia about Russia only serve to feed that agenda. It would be admirable if Schiff's impeachment crusade was limited to Trump's corruption, but something else drives him. He wants a proxy war in Ukraine with Russia, and he has for some time. Okay, tell me more about that, and tell me about how Adam Schiff has wanted, as you claim, a proxy war with Russia.
Well, I think he's, you know, during the Obama administration, that administration was quite uninterested in funding Ukraine's cross-border war with Russia, and Schiff was really advocating for that, for more arms to the Ukrainians, to make it easier for arms dealers to get weaponry to the Ukrainians, for the U.S. to become more involved in that conflict, and you can see that he has a lot. He gets a lot of funding from the arms industry. If you look on opensecrets.org, which is a resource I urge people to use a lot.
A great website for many years now.
Yeah, great website. Although, interestingly, sometimes you can get just as much information just as easily from the FEC's, the Federal Election Commission's website. But the Open Secrets is great for certain kinds of data synthesis, and it was great for looking at this. So he's got lots and lots of arms manufacturers, arms contractors contributing to him, And you notice, this is not even me. A couple of other journalists have first started reporting this a couple of years ago. Our own Branko Marketek at Jacobin, and also the late Justin Raimondo of antiwar.com. Both of those guys looked at, into this a couple of years ago, you know, you've got Ukrainian arms dealers holding fundraisers for him, and you know, shortly after these fundraisers, you have the State Department approving these very profitable dealings in Ukraine for these same guys, particularly now, you know, as this has been going on, and the U.S. has become more involved in Ukraine, and more explicitly so, and many of the restrictions on shipping arms to the Ukrainians have been lifted. The exact companies that contribute to Schiff big dollars are making millions from this Ukrainian conflict. It turns out in cross-border conflicts, specific kinds of missiles are heavily used. Those particular missiles are made by Raytheon and Lockheed Martin, big Schiff donors, and also Northrop Grumman, another big donor of Adam Schiff. So he's got a lot of interest in this. He's got a lot of interest in conflict with Ukraine. He's historically beyond this, always gotten a lot of money from the arms industry. And he hasn't met that many wars or increases in the Defense Department budget that he hasn't liked. He supported the war in Afghanistan, the war in Iraq. He advocated for more U.S. involvement in Syria. And he's voted for almost every possible increase in the defense budget. He initially supported the Saudi war in Yemen, but was very appalled by the Khashoggi killing and has kind of, to his credit, backed off.
He supported that resolution that said the United States should not support Saudi right. Arabia and its war in Yemen.
Yes. Yeah. So he was for it and then he was against it. So we applaud mind changing on that. I guess he draws the line at sawing up journalists with bone saws. You know, he is a moderate.
Do you think he gets, now it's not surprising for somebody who chairs the House Intelligence Committee or even the Senate Intelligence Committee or say the Armed Services Committee to be beneficiaries of a lot of money from defense contractors. Do you feel he's getting more than usual?
I think it's important context for his enthusiasm for this proxy war with Ukraine and for his enthusiasm for this panic around Russia. You know, just like the constant harping on like Russia and the Russians which is like so Cold War. I mean, like I'm old enough to remember the 1980s and Reagan and, you know, and how 1950s that was, you know, and
Rocky III. Remember that movie?
Yeah, exactly. And so he's really he often seems like he's trying to bring that back. And so, of course, they're going to give money to somebody who's in that position, but they certainly wouldn't be giving him money if he wasn't helping them so much. So, you know, if you had like Barbara Lee in a similar position, I don't think they would be that interested. You know, yeah. I mean, you know, it's industry likes to keep giving you money if they're getting something out of it, and they're obviously getting a lot out of Schiff.
Not that it's important, but I did misspeak. I said Rocky III. It was actually Rocky IV that had the Cold War
with the
Russian. Yeah, Rocky III was Clubber Lang and Mr. T. So, you know, that's important to mix that up.
I recently rewatched that. It's amazing. Yeah.
I want to stay on the quote that I read from you in your piece in Jacobin magazine, and one particular part about it, I'm just going to reread once again. It would be admirable if Schiff's impeachment crusade was limited to Trump's corruption. By that, and this may not what you mean, but by that, do you think it's possible to compartmentalize these things to say, you know, I'm actually kind of uncomfortable about some of the rhetoric or a lot of the rhetoric that we're hearing about Russia at the same time? What Donald Trump has allegedly done and using U.S. resources to in order to further his own personal agenda is problematic, could be impeachable. Is that what you mean by that? Or do you mean something else?
That's literally my exact opinion on this. Not that anyone conducting these hearings cares about my opinion very much. But that is certainly my belief. Perhaps I'm being idealistic in suggesting that you can compartmentalize it in that way. But I do think personally, I'd love to see Trump removed from office for all kinds of reasons beyond these corruption issues. I'd love to see him removed for keeping children in cages and for endangering continuing human existence on our planet by deregulating our environment. I mean, I'd love to see him removed for all kinds of reasons. And I don't think that the issues being raised in the impeachment hearings are unreasonable. You know, I think that they're there clearly is some corruption, and it's bad. And I understand why these could be good reasons to remove him from office. At the same time, I think the context, which is, I'm actually going to say the larger context, because it involves the whole world rather than just the United States. The larger context of warmongering with Russia and really trying to recreate the Cold War is something really dangerous and scary, and is would be of great benefit to the arms manufacturers that write checks to Adam Schiff, but would be terrible news for many people around the world, including us.
Well, I think we're somewhat of the same mind on that. And of course, the Democrats and Adam Schiff in particular, and the people that are running the impeachment process, aren't trying to win you or I over, or the anti-war left or the anti-imperialist left. But one way I've tried to explain, though, what I do think
it
is happening.
I don't actually talk about it that much. I just did this piece. I just couldn't bear it any longer.
Well, like I said, it's blown up on my social media feed. So if you're trying to stay low, well done.
No, you're
on radio. But no one listens to radio anymore, so that's okay. Don't worry about that.
I was mad as hell and couldn't take it anymore.
Well, he went very hard on that this morning. No question about it. That is what he was doing there. And again, of course, they're not trying to win us over. And the way I've tried to explain it, not necessarily defend it, but explain it, is first, I do think Adam Schiff believes every word he has said about that. So I don't think he's faking it. Second, is I think there is a strategy of trying to play this, metaphorically speaking, to play this game in the on the Republicans' home field, in their ballpark, because you're talking about issues around national security. You're talking about issues of patriotism. You're bringing up issues of us versus Russia. Not saying Democrats don't play a role in that, but these are sort of things that Republicans traditionally have done really well. And even if you're not going to peel off any Republicans to support you in your attempt to remove Donald Trump from office, you still could appeal, potentially thinking the long game here, the people in their districts or in their states come re-election in November.
You know, I am very skeptical of that. I'm very skeptical that I think what you just said is absolutely the reason why so many liberals and moderates really enjoy these proceedings. You know, that they're like, ha, we're getting them on their own discourse. National security, Russia is bad. You know, this is really like red meat stuff. But you know, as I said in my piece, like I don't think this has any resonance with, you know, the kind of people who put stickers that say these colors don't run on their trucks. I mean, I think if they voted for Trump, they're still sticking with him, perhaps even more so, because they might see this as kind of, an undemocratic effort to remove him. Statistics certainly show, the polling is certainly showing that that Republicans are standing by their man, ordinary voters as well as in the Senate. So I think that it's sort of I fear, and I say fear because I'd love to see Donald Trump removed from office. And I certainly think that corrupt politicians should be held accountable. But I fear it's just the liberals and the center doing this performance for whom the audience is themselves.
And liberals. And maybe that's possible. I would point out that recent polls I find are kind of interesting, especially around question of having witnesses in the trial, where even Republicans support having witnesses in the trial.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think, but you can want the process to be thorough and fair and still be like, no, Trump should not be impeached. And like, what is it, like 92% of Republicans in one poll I saw don't think that Trump should be impeached. So that's a lot, right? I mean, like,
it's not what Nixon would have had in 74.
No, yeah. No. I mean, it's like, it's really, it just feels like very much like, and I guess I'm not really equipped to analyze whether this is an ineffectual job of convincing or whether convincing was never really the point, you know, because it just definitely does not seem like it's supposed to be convincing. However, it will be effective in further greasing the wheels for our military industrial complex and making things more profitable for the war machine to run smoothly, and that I think is pretty scary.
Liza Featherstone has been our guest, columnist for Jacobin, freelance journalist, and the author of the book Selling Women Short, The Landmark Battle for Worker Rights at Walmart. She has just published an article for Jacobin called Adam Schiff is a Dangerous Warmonger. You can find it at Jacobin's website, or if you have at least if you're connected to sort of the progressive social media sphere, you could probably just open up your Twitter or Facebook and find it there, as I did. Liza Featherstone, I do thank you for taking time to join us today.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much.